Spirits of French Lick is proud to introduce the Matty Gladden Bottled and Bond Bourbon. This four-year-aged bourbon is double-pot distilled and non-chill filtered and has a full-bodied mouthfeel with eucalyptus, molasses, clove, ginger, and slight citrus, as well as grains of paradise. The finish is long and reappearing on the back of the tongue with notes of pepper, tobacco leaf, and mint cream. All of our spirits are available for tasting and purchase inside the French Lick Winery and Distillery. Spirits of French Lick, respect the grain, please enjoy responsibly, and be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Wash on me.
Welcome back to another exciting podcast of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. Tonight, we have brought back my podcast partner, Matt Mayer.
Glad to be back again. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the first one and keep this thing rolling.
Yeah, the actual, you know, the YouTube response was good. It wasn't one of the, you know, we've got some that are low, some that are high. It was right in the middle. And then also, but the podcast response was at the top. So we're good. We're you know, yeah. It's what we got to do. But that brings us to what we're going to do tonight. We have a special lineup set up, and I am excited about this. I was pumped all day because I've heard so much about this. We had done a live tasting way back, I believe, in March. It could have been March or April of, I think, 2020. And it was of the Russell Reserve, and we had brought in Greg Schneider because Greg Schneider, he is one of, he was part of the masterminding of getting Russell Reserve onto, they had a bunch of aging whiskey at Wild Turkey. They didn't know what to do, and he kind of came up with this idea, and they surprised Jimmy Russell, and it was delicious, so they went with it, and, you know, the rest is kind of history.
Yeah.
So having him on explaining that, but now they've come out with this Russell's Reserve, which is, I believe it's barrel strength, and it's 13 years. And yes. I've heard three different other podcasts, bigger podcasts, and they've all tasted it, and they all love it. Yeah. We're talking bourbon of the year. That's what we've been hearing. So we've got a courtesy of Super Nash, who was trying to join us tonight, but was not able to join us because the Hurricane Ida is going through South Carolina at the moment and took his power out. And I'm thinking he's kind of pissed right now that he's not here with this because he sent these samples up. We've got the whole thing set up and he's not able to join in. But what he'll have to do is send up a couple more and we'll just another one. Yeah, yeah, I just think that's how it's got to work, right?
Yep.
Because this is not an easily obtainable bottle. You were able to obtain one. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's what would you say, far and few apart, right?
Yeah. It was an absolute nightmare to try to obtain one of them. Waiting all night, kind of embarrassing, but hopefully it's darn good.
Well, we're going to find out tonight. But speaking of bourbon of the year, my bourbon of the year so far, and I've kind of mentioned it a couple times, is the William Dalton single, or the William Dalton blend that was for the Spirit of French Lick distillery gift shop where Alan Bishop, the master distiller there, dropped three toasted oak staves into the barrel, and it's just a spectacular bourbon. I'm out at the moment, but when we're going down to Kentucky, I'm going to be able to obtain another one of those. So I'm excited about that. But the Spirit of French Lick is our sponsor, and they are the largest pot still distillery in Indiana. They are leading the way, representing both quality of Hoosier artesian distilling process while paying tribute to its inseparable past and the many pre-prohibition era distilleries that once dotted the hills of southern Indiana. By implementing best practices for those early times with improved modern methods, Spirit of French Lick has created a unique place in the industry, not only in terms of its story, but it's also in methodology. Double pot still distillation, retention, and concentration of flavor and aroma. Established in 2016, relying on time-tested practices and new innovations in the distilling program, we craft a spirit that has defined character, equally driven by grain, barrel, yeast, and experience, following their motto, respect the grain. And another aspect, we are getting really close to Kentucky Bourbon Festival. And I was down in Kentucky this past weekend and was able to meet with Randy Prossy, the president of Kentucky Bourbon Festival, also El Presidente for the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. And one of the things that I had seen that he was talking on another podcast earlier in the week was, he's kind of excited for 2022. 2021's coming here. It's set up. He's got all the stuff that he's got to do, but he's in a COVID protocol, you know, and I really respect that he's always stayed in it. He didn't try and up the size or anything. He's basically running this out so that no matter what happens, he was going to be able to do it. You know, he's got all the safety checks, the temperature checks. He's going to do whatever he has to do to be able to run this outdoor festival. And I think that's a great thing. But he also was getting excited for 2022. And that festival, I'm hoping that, I know, Matt, we just kind of met and you've done a lot of your things. But I think that by 2022 in September, we're going to be going down there together, all of us, you know.
Blast.
Yeah, it is. I didn't think in all my whole, dreams of when I'm doing this podcast, I never thought we would be in this position. I mean, we're going to have a podcast tent. Our background banner for the tent will be set up. It'll be set up throughout the booth. I mean, the booth is going to be set up throughout the whole festival. That's our booth. If we meet people down there, we can set up podcasts. I've already got in line Lou Bryson, who is he writes Whiskey Masterclass. He's a writer. He's also on podcast with Martin Duffy, and I'm drawing a blank on Liz's last name, but they do taste. You know, it's funny. I shouldn't even be talking about what I don't know, but I always do it. But they do a podcast once a week on Tuesdays, and they have a lot of different people on. It's Scotch and it's bourbon and everything. But Lou and Martin Duffy, who's the Glencairn glass representative of North America, where we get our Glencairns from, he also is going to be podcasting with us. And then I've got Old Man Bay, which is Matt Bay. He basically woodworks barrelhead signs for people. And we've got a Scotchy Bourbon Boy barrelhead. Now, that's the one that I picked up from Jason Sparkman at Wilderness Trail. But I've actually got a barrelhead done by him that he's doing the video. And he's going to put that video up at Kentucky Bourbon Festival of how he made our barrel head, and I'm picking that barrel head up then too. Nice. So it's like, we're going to interview him on how he does the woodwork and the barrel heads.
Yeah.
And then just there's going to be master distillers there. There's going to be all sorts of people. And we'll just pull them in for podcast after podcast. And we're going to do a lot of Facebook Live stuff.
Is this your first time going down to the festival, or have you been before?
We were not as a Scotchy Bourbon Boys. Yeah. So before we were Scotchy Bourbon Boys in 2019, we went to the festival. And it was a blast. I mean, we rented a house. We went with another couple, but we hadn't even met Super Nash. And then Young Nose, he went with us, and he was down there for the weekend. And we had been down there for I believe I was down there for 9 straight days, and that's when I did the whole Kentucky Bourbon Trail and got the glass.
Yeah,
but it's like when we're going through Kentucky Bourbon Festival, it was just, we had a day of VIP up in the VIP lounge. This time we've got 3 days up there. That's kind of cool. But it was just really kind of a great experience because we did all the outside stuff.
Yeah.
Now they've pulled all the outside stuff onto the grounds in tents, and they've got it condensed, and they've eliminated some of the county fair type stuff. But Bardstown picked up the ball, and they have all the county fair stuff, but that's going on at a different site from the Kentucky Bourbon Festival. So it's really kind of cool what's happening down there. But it was, yeah. I really had a good time when we went the last time in 2019. And then we did it, me and Super Nash did it virtually last year.
That's what I did. I did the virtual.
Yeah. So you know, the bottle, were you watching the bottle when they were giving away the raffle?
Yes.
Fucking Super Nash.
Yes.
He wins the goddamn Blanton's bottle. I'm just watching. There was only one. The main rabbit hole bottle that they had given away was the only better bottle than that. And I'm just watching. I'm watching. He's not. I'm like, I call him, you just won the Blanton's. He's like, what? And it's signed by Harlan Wheatley, you know? And it's just like, that's, yeah, but that's Super Nash. Super Nash wins shit. That's unreal. And it's very beneficial for us because he wins auctions.
I've only won one lottery for a bottle. And it's impossible here.
Well, yeah, here in Ohio. But
it was easier.
But what was even more stupid is when I was down at Heaven Hill and I met Robert, and his friend's name is eluding me, but his friend has won 4 lotteries in a row. He's won Weller 12, Weller Foolproof, and he's just going, I'm like, what the fuck?
It's not fair.
Yeah,
it's
not exactly. Fair. Yeah, somehow it's rigged.
It is. They need to bring back the in-person in the grocery store. Show up there, grab your ticket, do lottery right there.
I think we got a chance at that in coming up.
I hope so.
You know, but you know, not this year.
No.
You know, they've that's being squashed.
Yep.
Still not going to feel guilty about going there Saturday morning though and talking to everybody. That's just a blast.
Heck yeah.
There's no better place to sell the Scotchy Bourbon Boys as a great group.
Yeah.
So.
It's the best places. Those lines are long. I mean, we were about 60 deep at Solon Giant Eagle for this one until they came out and said there was 11 bottles. Then you had a lot of
pissed and what off number people. What number were you?
I was 3.
You were 3.
I was 3. I got tipped off and said, if you want it, this is the only store that's going to have it besides downtown. You better get there now. I said, I was just putting my head down.
What time?
I went up there at 10 o'clock.
At night?
Yeah.
And you were 3rd?
3rd. And we had about 60 people by about 1:30 in the morning.
That's insane.
And they just stayed. And it was rough at first. Yes. People were bringing flasks of bourbon to try. They were passing those around. Everyone was just talking bourbon, and the time flew by. But I tell you what, I'm still embarrassed that I sat there for that long. But the end result was a win.
I got to get you cards.
Yeah, no kidding.
Then you can give out cards.
And it's what,
yeah. When we were at Heaven Hill, one of the guys that was in line, I'm not going to say anything, he basically was handing out, he explained that you're not allowed to drink. And so they had special ways that it was a Glencairn in a beer cup he was handing out, and he was giving samples, and one of them was one of the lost barrels from the Preservation Distillery. He was giving samples out of that, and everybody was freaking. Now, I've seen him there before, and he basically is a flipper. He's there every day. If you've been in line at Heaven Hill, you probably know who I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about.
And not that I don't mind what he does. He does it respectfully, and he's really trying. He provides a service. There's no doubt. It's not like he can get 15 bottles every time. He gets his one every day.
Or, if that, I mean, they limit you on almost everything now, so he's down to a minimum.
Yeah.
Does he have the chair with the little canopy over top? Rocks, and he's got the little tent over top of his little rocking chair that he brings in.
I've seen him do that, but this time it was a beautiful 70 degree morning, and he was just there in his chair. Yep. But I'm not gonna, like I said, it's
fun.
You can't, and once you're there, they swipe your driver's license, and it's like you got your 1 in 3 months or whatever, too. So, all right, well, that brings us to. Let's say that we've got gone over 600 new members, and to go from 5 to 600 was a record speed. We've been doing this. November will be 2 solid years of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, and we're at 600 members, and it's going quickly. I believe we're at 6-2, and I'd like to welcome the new members, and this is going to be fun. William Cox, Adelita Jihar, Allison Presley Baker, Brandon Henderson, Michelle Harrison, Robert Garner, James Ellsworth, Trenton Christopher, Chuck Dillon, Lance Oberlin, and Harley Jill. Welcome as new members. I think your wife was, but it must have been.
It was on the previous one. So it was last week.
Right.
The
right.
list on last week.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people I work with that kind of jumped on there, and then my wife jumped on there as well. So.
Well, I'm all for that. Thank you. Yeah. There's no doubt. It's like the more the merrier, right? And then just everybody who's new, feel free to comment and, just be a part of the group. I mean, this group is, there's a lot of dialogue going on throughout the day usually. So it's a fun thing to do. Welcome, everybody. So, all right, before we get into this, let's pay the bills.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
One of our other sponsors is the Logstill Distillery. Logstill Distillery traces its roots back to Joseph Washington Dance, hollowing out of a popular log to distill his first batch of Kentucky bourbon in 1836. And now a new generation of distillers is continuing in his footsteps. With Joseph Washington's great-great-great-grandson, Wally Dant, along with cousins Lynn Dant and Charles Dant, as co-distillers. The campus is opening in phases throughout 2021 in Gethsemane, Kentucky, in southern Nelson County, and will employ 126 once fully optional. For additional information, visit logstilldistillery.com. And when I was down there this weekend, I was able to basically pick up Monk's Road bourbon, the 5th District Series bourbon. And let's see. That is not, okay. The first release in our 5th District Series pays homage to the Cold Spring Distillery, a historic distillery in southern Nelson County, Kentucky, that was located just a stone's throw from the site of our new distillery. Today, this 5-year-old single barrel bourbon respectfully blends notes of corn, rye, and malted barley for a product that, oh my God.
It's tiny.
Yes, it is. For a product that revives the spirit of yesteryear. I think I printed that out too small.
So question about that, is that their flagship product or are they coming out with other?
That is their flagship bourbon. But this 5th District Series bourbon is going to be, they're going to have different expressions of it.
Okay.
Kind of, it'll still be Monk's Road, but it'll be a different, you know, expression as they go along. Their other product is a Tennessee bourbon or a Tennessee whiskey that has, it's called Rattle and Snap.
Okay.
And they have not released that yet. I've seen the protocol, what are they called? Prototypes.
Yeah.
Bottles. And they had a bunch of different type things like that. But it, I'm excited for that too. But that was not, sorry for the little type.
Yeah, I couldn't even see it from here.
Yeah, and I'm wearing like the glasses on that one. I think I'm going to have to print that one out bigger. All right, so here we are. We have come to the part where we get to drink whiskey with you guys.
Yes.
One of the cool things that happened this week, I was able to get my shipment of Glencairns, and we have the Crystal Glencairn that's there with the Scotchy Bourbon Boys logo. Now, I was only able to obtain a half dozen because the expense of these, I'm not sure that, you know, with the Scotchy, you know, for it, it would run probably $30 plus shipping. And I don't know how many people want to spend $30 on a Glencairn. So I ordered six to feel, but the weight of it's pretty damn cool.
I tell you what, I'm going home today and I'm going to find a Crystal Glencairn to buy, probably buy one of these. They are heavy, nice looking glasses, and it's a big difference between the regular Glencairns and these. So I love them. As soon as I saw that, I said, that's a beautiful glass.
Well, I have six of them, and they're for the Scotchy Bourbon Boys, so you might be not having to look for that.
Awesome.
So tonight we are doing, like we've talked about, the Russell's 10-year. That's what we're going to do first. While I pour this, do you want to give them a little bit of
notes? Russell's 10-year. It's a obviously a 10-year-old straight bourbon, 75% corn, 13% rye, 12% malted barley. It's a great MSRP on these. $38. You can't go wrong with any Russell's. Tasting notes. Let's kind of wing it here and get a little aroma before I start going through that list. Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, and this has been open for a little bit, and I'm expecting.
Oh yeah,
that's a lot of caramel.
So what it says here on the tasting notes is strong aromas of vanilla and caramel, very caramel forward, whiffs of oak, graham cracker, and leather. I do not get the leather on this,
but I totally get the graham cracker.
Yes,
I get caramel. Graham cracker, but what is caramel and graham? It would be caramel mixed with vanilla to form a graham cracker, kind of. That's kind of when you mix that. But I get that. No, there's no leather
on here,
and it's got the, what I love about it is there's an aspect of wild turkey that is here.
Yes,
but it's like, what would you say? It's on steroids.
I was about to say sweetness. The same thing.
Yeah, yep. Sweetness wise.
The sweetness really hits you on the nose. This has a wonderful nose on it.
Yeah, and it's 10 years, and you're just going, you know, it's kind of like, you know, sometimes when you get past that 8, 9, when you hit the 10-year, you get a little bit too, you know, they get a little bit oaky. Like oak, but I can't say that I don't like the caramel and the – and the graham cracker better than the oak. I do. It's like I understand. And when it gets oaky or woody, it's not like I don't like it. But I would say that I like the, you know, the 8-9 year sweet spot. But yep, the 10-year one, this one is still the sweet spot, I think.
Yeah. I tell you what, with all the bourbons I have tried, I've never cared to try the Russell's 10-year. And I tell you what, I've had a lot of Russell single barrels, a lot of Russell single barrel picks. And the nose on this thing right here.
Now I just pulled a butterscotch. It was just like right there.
I get a lot of cherry too.
Yeah.
I love the nose on this. I tell you what, I will not stray away from the 10-year Russells anymore just based on the nose, but let's give it a freaking try.
And you know, it's just to hear the story by Greg Schneider, tell him how, you know, what he did with this. It's just phenomenal.
I do get a like a little tobacco. The caramels and vanilla shine through. Well, let's see what they say here.
It's not as sweet, but I like where this is laying on the back of my throat. The hugs is there, but it's minimal for a Kentucky hug. You know, it's not quite.
Very small.
Right, but you know, if you want to talk about silky, it's pretty much it goes. Mm-hmm. But once again, let's. Wow, that second one is cherry forward.
Yeah.
Tons of cherry.
You get the cornbread a little bit.
Leading to the tobacco flavor on the back, like a cherry tobacco.
Yeah.
On the back of your throat. But I'm looking for that finish.
It's there really almost no finish to this at all.
Right.
It's not really lingering at all. It just kind of dies. It almost mellows out like a stale bourbon on the end. Like a something that's been sitting out for a while that kind of loses its bites, loses all its rye spice. Some of the light ends evaporate off and you try it a little while later and you get that mellow, dull aftertaste that it finishes kind of gone on this one.
You know, it's funny, but then what the finish is the hug. Even though it's not a hard hug, but you're still sitting here with a hug, like a warmth in your, you know, in your chest, but there's no flavor left in your mouth.
No.
But the hug is still there. I mean, it's like, what the, all right, let's try it one more time. You know how sometimes as you go.
Yep. I still love the nose on this. The nose is definitely my favorite part of this bourbon here. But for an easy drinker, this is something my wife would absolutely love. I mean, it's mild, extremely mild. Doesn't hit you with a big spice. It doesn't kill you with a huge hug. I mean, this is a very drinkable, approachable bourbon.
But it's a medium hug that's long as shit. But it's a lot of cherry.
Yeah.
On that last one is there's a ton of cherry. I would say. Now, you haven't met Xavier yet, but his favorite thing is when he's tasting a bourbon, he wants the nose, the taste, and the finish to kind of either play a symphony or match up.
Mm-hmm.
And he would not be happy because the nose does not represent what you're about to drink.
Yeah.
It's crazy. That's the part I love about bourbon. Is it so always changing?
Yeah.
It's always changing, right?
And everyone's thoughts and flavor profiles are so different. Yeah. One person can get caramel. The next person can get chocolate cake. I mean, you never know. People taste different things. I mean, palates are different.
Well, when we did the barrel pick with Macaulay down at Wilderness Trail, it was like we were there for the Moonshine University class. And you got to pick out of small things five different barrels. You weren't by the barrels or whatever. And I picked one that Supernatch picked and also Alan Boothby, who is with the Bourbon Roadies. He was there and we all picked the same bottle.
Nice.
I took that bottle home and I opened that bottle and it was pure vanilla birthday cake frosting and it never changed. It was spectacular. I never tasted, cake frosting, vanilla cake frosting. And it was just straight across the board. That was one of the best decisions I ever made to pick that particular barrel.
Yep.
All right.
Getting a little root beer.
Now that time, I'm getting a little finish. Just a little oaky finish that time. That last sip, whereas I didn't get anything, I got a little oak, and it's a sweet oak.
It is. It's very, I mean, start to finish, it's very sweet. That's the only thing that kind of stays with that bourbon from start to finish. Sweet on the nose, sweet on the palate, sweet on the finish. I mean, it stays with it throughout. But yeah, the tobacco shines through on the finish for me.
Yep. And it wasn't there the first three or four sips, you know. No. All right. So let's barrel bash this.
Yeah.
Our barrel bashing system is based off of categories of nose, palate or taste, body and finish. Each one can get receive 4 barrel bashes, but if something's exceptional, it can receive a butt up for a total of 5, which you can only use for one of the categories. So you could have a total of 17 out of 16. So let's talk about the nose.
I'm going to go with a 3 on the nose.
Okay.
I mean, it's not overwhelming. It doesn't blow me away, but it's very pleasant. It's very pleasant, sweet, and I like it.
So, when I was at Wilderness Trail, I got to fill a barrel, and then I got to actually bash in the bung into mm-hmm. the barrel, and that was kind of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just imagining. Now we do have. I was able to pick up a barrel shelf, but I'm debating whether I want to start bashing it. Anyways. So I'm going to go with, I did enjoy the nose, and I think it's the strongest part. And it's my favorite thing in bourbon, and has always been as a kid, as an adult, I love caramel. I love vanilla ice cream. I love caramel sundaes. I love pecan turtle sundaes. That's, you know, chocolate with caramel. I've always been that kind of vanilla. So bourbon just makes sense to me. Now,
yeah.
I also like burnt toast and burnt things, burnt cookies. So some scotches are pretty damn good too. But I don't like smoky things, you know,
yeah.
too smoky. But on this is what I like. And on the nose, I'm going to give the nose a 4 because I did think it was strong. And I love that caramel. I love the little bit of butterscotch. I loved the vanilla, the graham cracker. You know, I didn't get the toasted marshmallow for s'mores, but it was close. All right. So then we go to the taste.
It's a tough one for me. Just, I'm a barrel proof person, so I like that full bodied, full flavored, full mouthfeel, oily. I hate to do it, but I'm going to give it a 2 because it just kind of almost died for me.
And I would concur. Like I said, I really think the nose was strong. It's one of the better noses that I've. It's an enjoyable nose. I mean, we nose a lot of whiskey.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you want to just keep smelling it and you don't, and you're not that, you know, you want to taste it and hope it tastes like that. And it didn't. I really thought the cherry with the tobacco wasn't a matchup. And I would agree with you on this one. It was a 2. Body.
I'm probably going to have to go with a 2 as well on the body.
Agree with you completely. Yeah. When I look at body, I like to swishel it around in the Glencairn and see how it sticks to the glass. Yeah. See what those fatty acids are doing, because that has everything to do with mouthfeel. Yeah. If it's sticking and whatever, it's going to go in your mouth and it's going to coat a lot of what's going on. But, if you're going to have a 4 or a 3, you have to cover more than the roof of your mouth and the top of your tongue. It's got to go under your tongue, on the sides of your tongue, back, you know. And this pretty much hits the back of your, where this would be, like if you could get what it did to the back of your throat with that cherry tobacco through your whole mouth, you could up it. But that's not how it happened. No. So I would give it a 2 also. Now comes the tricky part. You want me to go first on the finish?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. The finish was a Kentucky hug, a medium Kentucky hug. And the first 2 or 3 times I sipped it, there was none. Now, in the end, I got a little bit. And it's like I'm just trying to hold on to see if I'm going to have to say on this particular, you know, one, I got to go with, I'm going to go with a 1 on the finish.
I'm going with a 1 as well. It had pretty much nothing. It was very thin. and it died on me. And I'm not a big fan of the tobacco-y type finishes. I'd rather have the stronger baking spices. And for as far as a hug for me, it was, I could almost drink it like water. It just kind of went down, didn't burn at all. And I like a little bit of a little bit of power to it. So a one it is.
So you gave this bourbon an 8.
Yeah.
I believe 3, 2, 2, 1.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I gave it a 9. So we give it concurrently an 8.5. But what I will say in defense of this, yes, is this is a drinkable whiskey.
Correct.
If you're, this is something that I would, you're talking about Russell's Reserve 10 year. And you're going to have a bunch of people over.
Yes.
It's not, we are talking, I think high 30s for the bottle.
Yeah, $38.
$38. And you're not talking, and it's readily available.
Yep.
It's a Wild Turkey with Jimmy Russell's name on it. And this is something that if you're having a barbecue and a bunch of friends or whatever, this is what you'd serve them, not fucking Kirkland.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like, give them this. This impresses people. It's
Russell name is big. I mean, the Russell's name will impress them. But right. It drinks like a Basil Hayden. I mean, it drinks like a mild, easygoing, everyday, right, not too much flavor, not too much bite, not too much burn, easygoing bourbon.
Right. So there we go. So we got the Russell. So let's see what – grab your going, Karen, yeah, before I knock – you should grab that because you get – you determine – where you're at right now. I don't know what you were doing beforehand, but pour what you want. The whole thing's available if you do, but you know, you don't have to have a full pour if you're
just depends. I'm feeling perfect right now.
All
right,
so you can have the full pour. I'm going now. We're doing this, yeah, 2 ounces. This is a long pour at the a long Mueller pour.
The first thing I noticed about this bourbon when I took that bottle home, it is dark.
Yeah, I definitely have. Now, just so you know, let's do this really quick and really right. This is the Crystal Glencairns. We're showing you them. They're beautiful. The weight in your hand.
Oh, it's nice.
I have a rocks glass that I love, and I love the weight. I'm always looking for weight, and this delivers from a Glencairn. This has definitely got the weight, but... Martin Duffy, a Scotchy Bourbon Boy. He's going to be on the podcast at Kentucky Bourbon Festival. We've had him on before talking Scotch, but this Glencairn is spectacular. He is the North American Glencairn glass representative. And if you have a group or you have anybody and you want your logos put on a Glencairn, Martin Duffy is your contact. He has set us up at the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. We are going to be selling, not these, but we will be selling the Scotchy Bourbon Boy Glencairns at the Kentucky Bourbon Festival. We stocked up, got that, and then we got these, but these are spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
Let us know, folks, on comments or whatever, if you'd be interested. This is... a higher priced item, and it would probably be priced around $30 plus shipping. So let us know if you're interested in that. And if you are, we'll order more and we'll start shipping them to everybody. But you got to let us know. We might be able to put that up on Patreon as one of the levels where you get one of these and on the subscription level. And speaking of Patreon, let's go to www.scotchybourbonboys.com. Check out our website. Check out our bios. Matt's is going to be up soon. I'm going to work on that. I got to get some good pictures and stuff like that. But at the same time, in the top right-hand corner, the Patreon button's right up there. Visit us on Patreon. You can get tastings by any of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. There's different levels, different things. There's T-shirts. There's Glencairns. Even signed artwork that I've done by me. So sweet. Check it out. All right. So now we're on to the Russell Reserve 13 year.
I was starting to get over the glass. This glass is phenomenal. Yeah. I love this.
Oh, my God.
The nose is fantastic.
Holy shit. But up.
Yeah.
That's pure graham cracker.
Oh, yeah.
It's graham cracker to the point of, is there a graham cracker in this fucking glass?
Oh, absolutely. You still get, I mean, it is, it's vanilla? Russell's. I mean,
yeah,
it's Russell's. I mean, you smell that. I still get the deep, rich cherry, the graham cracker.
But, and I'm getting a Rickhouse. There's a Rickhouse in there.
Oh, yeah.
There's the Rickhouse. Like, the smell when you walk into that Rickhouse. I just love walking into Rickhouses. And what I'm really excited about is that, at Watershed, which is only a couple hours away, their Rickhouse, you get the same smell. It's just crazy. I already know what I'm doing on that. Now, let's see. Everything we've heard about, folks, is that, okay, so the nose is spectacular.
Yeah.
But the nose was spectacular on Russell's tenure. Agreed. Is it going to deliver into... Now, what is the proof on this barrel strength, bitch?
Oh, I didn't even look.
Oh, my God. I'm not going to... It's barrel proof. Can you read that? I'm going to need...
For some reason, I didn't even look at my own bottle. But I do have a picture of it if I need
to. Well, hold on. Let's just see. I'm going to try two things. I'm going to put the glasses back on.
Oh, she's down here. I think it's...
I see where it says. And then let's try straight up.
Let's say 55%. Is that 110 proof?
No?
I can't see.
Yeah.
It looks like to be about, 55 is maybe all I can make out, but...
Wait, so I've got tasting notes, so maybe in those tasting notes somewhere, let's see, I set it down right here, did I?
I believe so.
Tasting notes.
There it is.
Not there.
There we go.
Can you read that?
Let me see.
57.4%. Which puts it at 114.8 proof, right? Yep, 114.8. Yep. Yeah, our tasting notes saved us. Yes. Now, this was from... This was a new place that I pulled these tasting notes from.
The color on that is just, look at how dark that is.
Yeah, it's delicious. Yeah, let's screw the tasting notes. Let's give them our own tasting notes. 114.8, right? Here we go.
That filled the mouth.
Well. Wow.
The tobacco and oak is forward for me. Tobacco and oak.
Yeah.
But man, that finish is still going. The oak and the tobacco linger off.
I wanted to go to, you know what?
Oh, man.
So, I get the oak, and I'm going to get I'm going to say it's not tobacco. It's dark, dark chocolate with no sugar, like a cocoa dark chocolate. You ever have those dark chocolates that they dish out with absolutely no sugar, like 98% cacao or whatever they call it? And it's like, let's see. All right. So that's the first shocker.
And I love
it's delicious. The nose.
Oh my gosh, coats the whole mouth. You get the burnt brown sugar a little bit.
What do we got? I don't know how these Glencairns, hold the...
Oh, it's sticking quite nicely.
Nope, that's not on the inside. I can't tell. The crystal, what did you call that as far as the design on the outside?
There's a name. It does have a name.
Yeah. But it's not coming to me.
Oh, the finish is still going. It's almost got like a red meatiness to it.
This is a chew-on bourbon, there's no doubt. This bourbon would be something you'd want to drink while you're sitting out by a fire on a cool night. Yeah. Or, you know, this is a big-bodied bourbon. I think the body, obviously the nose is right there again, and the body is unbelievable.
It's killer.
I mean, the finish has that little bit of, like I said, it's a long finish, there's no doubt. Same hug, same exact hug. You know what I'm going to say that the hug is about the same. It's it's lingering, but you have a finish in your mouth.
Yeah, I'm getting a huge hug on this one. I'm warm all the way down in a great way. My whole mouth is warm.
Right.
Everything's feeling good.
But it's lasting the same way the other one did. You know what I mean? Whereas sometimes you get that hug and it's over and then the finish keeps going. Well, yeah. This is still the hug with the finish.
Yes.
So.
That last one, there was no hug for me. It just kind of finished. It was done. This one here is boom. Maybe just because I like the barrel proofs. Hit me different.
They had everybody different. When you're talking about a body, a barrel proof puts a body. I mean, I've watched so many videos on YouTube of the older distillers. And even Booker, even Elmer T. Lee, they were, one, they couldn't believe people wanted to drink rye whiskey neat. Rye whiskey was a mixer, you know, for them. And they always believed that. But also, the other aspect is Elmer T. Lee was like, why the fuck would you want? He didn't say why the fuck, but I'm just, you know.
You never know.
He didn't. I saw him say it. He's there. You know, he'd been there for a long time. And, you know, he basically said, why would anybody want to drink something barrel strength? What you do is if we offer up barrel strength, then you can proof it how you like it. Little did he know that it would evolve to people drinking barrel strength neat.
Yeah.
Now, I think they were more worried about their livers because all those years that they were drinking barrel strength, you know, and testing and tasting. Yeah. But, you know, after going to my first barrel pick with Freddie Noe and understanding, because you can, if you go to a barrel pick and you've done it.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to go down with you. Yep. That should be a fucking fantastic time.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm getting, I've gotten my sea legs and my experience, so I should be able to behave the whole time.
I hope so. We don't.
Well, it's maybe I'll be able to shine light on some stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the same time, when you're at a barrel pick, it's like you might have a 137 or 136 proof that you're tasting, but they're not going to offer it at that. So you really got to try and pick a barrel that's good, a full body 130 proof opposed to 122.5 proof is not going to, there's going to be a huge difference, okay?
Yeah.
But the 122.5 proof is going to be just taken down a little, and that 130 proof, and you've done that before, right? Where you've picked it, it's tasted fantastic.
Yep.
They then water it down, and you are like, what? That's not what we picked, right?
Yeah. It's, you get to try it both ways. You get to try a barrel proof, and you get to try them proof down. I mean, and a lot of these brands are proofed down to 90 proof. So when you try it at 90, it's totally different. So you almost have to pick, based on the 90 proof bourbons. So you'll try it then. And then when you revert back to the barrel, siphon it out, try it directly from the barrel, It blows it away. That's my opinion.
It's not your opinion. It's so true.
Full flavored. It just blows your mind.
This cast strength, it's Russell ridiculous. 13, to compare it to the Russell's 10 at 90, they've watered it down.
Gosh.
You can't. So we weren't comparing. We're just rating.
Yeah.
And what I also find is that why I'm so honored to have that 120 proof Knob Creek pick as my first pick, because 120 proof, for instance, this is 114.8. Mm-hmm. It's barrel proof, whereas Knob Creek's a higher barrel proof. There was 132 proof that everybody was like loving, but there was a mid palate thing that was happening on this 122.5 that I liked from the start. And then when Freddie was like saying he understood it because he's tasted thousands and thousands of barrels, and he said if we didn't pick that barrel, he's going to pick it for something. And he went with that barrel. And I was like, I understood the 100. I did like the 132 proof, but there was some sort of exceptional thing happening with that 122.5 that is going to transfer to that fucking bottle.
Yep.
And that's exactly it.
Are you getting a nuttiness now?
I'm getting what I would like to call the Wild Turkey profile.
Yep.
It is a Wild Turkey product.
Oh, yeah.
And I really think Eddie and Jimmy do a fantastic job. And I think they've done a fantastic job with this Russell's 13 year. Now, I'm just going to say before I do this, I'm still on board with William Dalton. It's like the William Dalton seemed to me to be similar. There's a lot of body, there's a lot of thing, but instead of the leathery kind of what you were saying, nutty, mm-hmm. it's like this just enough sweetness chocolate finish that just is there. So I'm still going with that as my bourbon of the year, but this is a spectacular bourbon. And
yes,
I don't think I've nosed anything better than this.
No. And I've got my two all-time favorites of the bourbons I've ever tried. It's a William Heaven Hill 13-year bottle and bond and an Old Carter. Old Carter, pretty much any of the batch bourbons have been kind of blown my mind. This one I had high expectations for, and it blew my mind. So it met all expectations, all the reviews, everything people have said about this bottle. I tell you what, I'm fucking glad I waited in line all night.
Yeah.
Because this was fantastic. And thank you for letting me try it. And Mr. Martin Nash.
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Super Nash, I wish you would have been here for this. There's no doubt. But, you know, Mother Nature was calling. And I will try and give you a call right after.
Oh, my word.
But let's get to barrel bashing.
Yes.
I'm going to go first on the nose. I am going to give the nose on this a 4 with a butt up up.
Hmm.
Butt up up.
It is a 4 for me on the nose.
All right. Let's go to taste. I think, honestly, the taste is the weakest part.
I'd agree with you 100%, no doubt.
I mean,
but phenomenal.
Oh, no,
it's the weakest part of this.
Of this. I think the taste.
Oh, the finish. Oh. Fuck.
That finish now has sweetened up after that, you know, we're talking. I don't know what it is, but it's sweetened up. Yeah. Change. And I love that about bourbon. It's like the more you go about it, the more it changes. You know what I mean? It's like, it's how is that going to sit? You know, what's that going to do when it sits for a little bit? You know, you should just taste a little bit of your bottle, but pop it and then see what happens if you.
Yeah, let it sit.
Yeah. All right. So I'll do the taste. I'm going to go with a 3 on the taste.
I'm Going to go with a 4 on the taste on this one.
Okay. So we are tied. Yep. 8-8.
Yep. Not all finish. Right.
Now, technically, I've already used my butt up, so you could beat me
right now.
So I'm going to give the body. You got to give the body a 4. There's no doubt about it. It's 100% a 4.
You could just match me with that 4. This fills the mouth. It's oily everywhere. It's a beautiful flavor profile. There's no off-putting flavors in this whatsoever. Every once in a while, you get that flavor in a bourbon that you can't really figure out what it is, but you don't really like it, but it's not bad. This has none of that characteristic to it. I mean, this is fantastic.
I would say that on the finish, there's an aspect of it. There's an oak in there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And there's a little bit. It's a tobacco that changes to a really deep, 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 deep dark chocolate. Now, when there's a lot of people who disagree with this, with me. What I want from a finish is I want it to be long.
Yep.
But I want a real, it's kind of like you ate ice cream. Now, a lot of people don't. They think a sweet finish is a cop out and boring. Yeah. If you get something, but what I found is the complexity of this finish.
Mm. Oh yeah, oh,
but
yeah.
The only thing to make me want it to be perfect is I would like it to finish a little bit sweeter. For me, that's just my taste. So on this one, I think the finish is long. It's complex, but once again, this is just when you're drinking, it's your experience. There's no right or wrong answer. If you Absolutely. Love it, and I love to have a little bit of sweetness left, not so much a tobacco dark chocolate, dark chocolate. It does convert. If it would have just pushed a little bit more sweetness, I would give it a 4. But it's long enough, it's whatever, but that I give it a 3. And I know you don't concur.
No.
I know.
that's okay. That's what bourbon's about.
Yeah, exactly.
So this one, this is one of those finishes where when it's done, I could sit here for 5 or 10 minutes and describe to you flavors that are running through my mouth. I've got a nuttiness. I've got a chocolate note. I've got a cherry off the beginning. So the sweeter flavors dissipated. So the cherries, the vanillas, the caramels right off the bat going into a tobacco note, into a oaky note. Those dissipated for me and turned into a nutty note or a chocolate note, almost back to sweet. It just kind of lingered and the flavor profile just kind of went on. So
wait.
So, yeah.
I just tasted it again.
Yeah.
And now I'm getting cherry.
Yeah.
Chocolate and it's sweeter.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay. 4.
It's so good.
It's like, isn't that fucking weird?
Oh, yeah.
That's the first time I picked up the cherry and the sweetness with the chocolate. It's almost like eating a dark chocolate covered cherry. All of a sudden, that just popped up. In the previous
it's unreal.
4 sips, that wasn't there.
I'm getting like a chocolate mousse now. This bourbon is unbelievable.
Yes, I agree.
This is a... This is a 4 for me with a butt up up.
Butt up up. So you pulled off your first 17 out of 16. Yep. And I pulled off a 16 out of 16, which leads to us giving it a 16.5 out of 16.
Yeah.
So it definitely is right up there. I don't know how many other bourbons out there that are going to compete with this, but we are on August 31st. And
I'm impressed.
Yes. I'm definitely impressed. But you know what I'm impressed by is what the bourbon industry from the craft distillers down to the big distillers, what they're understanding, what everybody wants.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think I will go out and on a limb on this one, but I love Rare Breed.
Yeah, me too.
I do. And this Russell 13 year is basically the best expression from Wild Turkey that I've ever had.
No doubt Hands in my down. Mind.
And,
no doubt.
And don't get me wrong. This is a lot more expensive than Rare Breed. I mean, Rare Breed.
Not too bad, right? $50 to 70?
Yeah. No. Well, I mean, it's 43 to 70.
Yeah.
But still. It's a Rare Breed for the money is by. But still, $70 for this. And it's I understand it's 13 years. And Rare Breed, what are we talking about? I think 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Yeah. But. I can't believe that Wild Turkey put... Everybody talks about all the different Wild Turkey expressions, Long Branch, and they've got Matthew McConaughey, and you stop by at the... You got the Spirit of Kentucky.
What about the 2003? I mean, this blows away the 2003.
Now you just said something. You just said something. What the fuck is 2003?
The Russell's 2002...
Yes, you have to understand how new I am to this.
Okay, distilled in 2003. It was bottled in 2003. Distilled in 2003. It's like a 14-year-old bourbon, 86.6 proof, around that range. You guys can correct me if I'm a little bit off, but I'm trying to memorize this from the back of my head. But it comes in a little wooden box. It's a special edition every year. So they got a 2001, 2002, 2003. They're all older, very older bourbons. And they're fantastic. But this barrel proof Russell's 13 year, it blows it away. I got a bottle at home with the 2003. I'll bring it in. We'll try it.
Sounds good.
It's a low proof, but I tell you what, it's fantastic. But we're going to say similar things as the Russell's 10. It's very, very drinkable. This here, barrel proof, if you get your hands on this,
this is not a drinkable bourbon. This is what you put in your corner, save it for your best friends.
Yes.
And you basically sip on it, and you get a pour, and you do a pour at a time. Where Russell's, you could drink it all night long. You know, there's no doubt. But that's exactly what Matt adds to the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. He pulls out all the shit. Supernash and myself, Supernash does a great job of finding bourbons. Like, we're drinking that tonight because he's found it. He's obtained that bottle.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we jumped into this at the same time. So you're adding in that you understand the dusty part, some of the other pre-bourbon boom aspect of it. And we really are going to appreciate it. I can't wait till a hurricane doesn't stop you and Supernash from getting together, because I think the two of you, if I put you two together, I think there's going to be some fucking cool shit that goes on.
There already was. I mean, we were sitting there in line. Me and Supernash went back and forth for 2 hours there for a little while.
Yeah, I was gone. I think I was getting some McDonald's coffee and headed home for something else. I forget.
We're going back. I found this. I was back and forth for hours. But I tell you what, time flew by. He's freaking awesome. We had a great time. But that's what everyone bitches about the lines, but that's what the lines are about. You meet new friends, you meet new people, you have a good time. It's all about bourbon. I mean, it's a good time.
I don't bitch about the lines anymore.
We don't.
No, but you watch Bourbon Pursuit, and they're beyond the lines.
Yeah.
But I don't want to ever get beyond the lines. No. I really feel that when you're in line, that's where you meet the people. And I think there's going to be a point where the line will merge into the group.
Yes.
And then the people in the line will become the group. And I really don't want to get so big that the line doesn't mean anything to me anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, I wake up every day to go to work 5:45 in the morning. And I'm at work by 6:15. Saturday morning, you'd think, hey, he wants to sleep in. Nope.
No. No.
I love what Giant Eagle did. That allows me to be in line at Giant Eagle at 7 o'clock on Saturday. And it's not just there for the release. Sometimes I'm there first in line, and I don't get anything. Yeah, it was damn good. There's no doubt about it. But I'm there because I love the camaraderie.
Yes.
And the people that are there. They become part of the Scotchy Bourbon Boys. We met in line.
That's right.
You're now podcasting with us.
Yeah.
And we're going to be drinking together and the next meeting that happens. Plus, we're going to be going down to Kentucky together.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. Drink. Yeah. It's not about getting fucked up and, you know, whatever. But there's an aspect of whiskey that getting fucked up, every once in a while, you need that.
You do.
Yeah. But we just keep getting older, and that's less and less. But we also understand there's a lot of young people out there.
Yeah.
But if we can turn them on to the aspect of the whole... Well, let's just take Rebel Yell. And I think that that's a great podcast because we've got some expressions of Rebel Yell.
Yeah.
I've got Rebel Yell 100 in there, which Billy Idol. You know, I think we should have Billy Idol on the podcast.
That'd be freaking great.
What Cask and what is it called? Oh, my God. Aaron Pross. He's Cask Chasers.
Cask Chasers.
Yes. He just had on Jamie from the actor who in his part that he plays is Jamie on on the show my wife watches all the time about the woman who goes back into time into Scotland.
I know what you're talking about. I just can't remember the name of that.
God darn it. She's going to kill me. But he just had him on about scotch.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, my God, my wife is jealous. You got to. So that's an aspect of what you can do with a bourbon podcast. You can get people on that. And that's what I plan to do going forward. And one of the podcasts that's going to happen right around. We're going to record it on September 23rd. It'll be out that night. But we're going to have Harlan Wheatley on the Scotchy Bourbon Boys talking about Buffalo Trace and everything that he's doing there, what he's doing there with the Colonel Taylor. You know, what
you saw that fermenting, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty sweet, isn't
it? Yeah. And what he's done there he's actually got it working is just unbelievable. Yeah. So those are the kind of things that are going to be happening coming up. And then when we go to, Kentucky Bourbon Festival, that we should be able to get a good amount of people on that.
Yeah.
So, anything else to add?
No, I think we talked a lot.
What did you pick anything up special besides the Russell 13 this year? This week?
The Russell's 13 was the one I picked up special, but I did get a Yellowstone limited edition 2021, which I'm a big fan of Yellowstone bourbon, mostly because of Stephen Fonte and Mr. Stephen Beam. If you ever go visit the Limestone Branch Distillery, though, they are absolutely phenomenal. They bend over backwards to make sure you have a good time. They sit down and smoke cigars with you when you're done. The place is great. The bourbon is fantastic. Please visit Limestone Branch. It's a great place to go.
I would agree with that 100%. Stephen Beam is good people, and most people in this industry are.
Yes, almost all. It's hard to find someone that's not a friend in the bourbon industry. And drinking bourbon, I mean, that's the story of bourbon. I mean, you drink it to share good memories and share good friends. I mean, that's what bourbon's for.
Yes. And then exactly what you just said. And normally I say good bourbon equals good friendship good times.
Yeah.
But also remember, everybody, go out there and live dangerously. Thank you.
the way to the next whiskey bar.